Now, as you'd expect, we will bring you the reasons why some drugs are coming off in the eyes of the experts and others that could help people in the future are going on. That's important for you to know. There are some coming off and others will go on. But we will hear a debate about that. I've just a little bit more to tell you. The Cancer Drugs Fund itself was set up in 2010 and it was supposed to be a temporary measure. But the idea was to provide extra money for medicines that are normally considered too expensive. So the critics say all it's really done is help the drugs companies keep their prices high because other parts of the NHS have lost out. Now, one of the medicines that won't be funded is a breast cancer drug called Halaven, made by a Japanese company, Eisai. Here's the president of its oncology division, Gary Hendler, saying that, in fact, they could have sold the drug more cheaply.
In our specific case, we haven't been asked to reduce the price of the drug. And that's really why we are so concerned about the whole process. We could have reduced the price. We'd be happy to be flexible to help ensure that the Cancer Drug Fund is not overspent, but we weren't even asked to do that.
So there's a little bit more complexity for you. There's a drugs firm saying, oh, well, if you'd asked us, we could have cut the price to the NHS, but you didn't ask us. So that's in this mix. Should the NHS find a better way of negotiating for drugs? Is it right to be spending hundreds of millions of pounds on drugs that may only extend life for a few months? Is a very blunt question. Please answer it in all the ways you know how to reach the programme. Welcome to Experts. Mark Flanagan, Chief Executive of Beating Bowel Cancer. He's with me here. Hello, Mark.
Good afternoon, Paddy.
And Carl Claxton, Professor of Health Economics at the University of York. Hello, Carl.
Hello there.
Both, first of all, let's just respond to what Pam asked us. Whatever your professional view, Carl, when she asked if this was your mum, sister, wife, daughter, you'd want everything the country had spent in resources to help her, wouldn't you?
Of course, I'd want access to any intervention, whether it was a drug intervention or not, that could possibly help and sustain her as long as possible. There's no doubt of that. The issue, though, is that the problem that NHS patients like Pam are facing, trying to access new drugs, continues to be the prices that have been charged by manufacturers. The Cancer Drugs Fund has done absolutely nothing to address that fundamental problem. Okay. And in many respects, it's made it worse.
So is it correct? Is it a good idea to change the drugs that are on the list and avoid an overspend as there was last year? Do you think it's good to take these difficult decisions?
Well, I think overall, the Cancer Drugs Fund has done substantially more harm than good for NHS patients overall. Without this review, the fund would have escalated to £420 million next year. Even with this review, it will still hit £340 million. The impact across the NHS is quite substantial. And in fact, we know how to estimate that. I mean, the net harms to the NHS are impacting in cardiovascular disease, in respiratory disease, quality of life impacts in neurological and mental health. The real beneficiaries of the Cancer Drugs Fund are not NHS patients. It's manufacturers who've been able to continue to sell their drugs at high prices.
We also heard that Pam considers herself a beneficiary, but a one-sentence reply to this. The Cancer Drugs Fund is a giant sucking sound, is it, of money away from other services towards expensive drugs, in your view?
Well, of course. The money that's devoted to the Cancer Drugs Fund is money that has been taken away from the NHS.
Right. Mark Flanagan is here, the Chief Executive of Beating Bowel Cancer. That's a fair point, isn't it? There's a limited resources.
It's not a fair point. It's completely overstating the benefits of the fund. For the last 4 years, 50,000 cancer patients have benefited from the fund. We've been able to give those patients new drugs. We've also got to recognise it's not just one drug, because you give a patient a drug, it has some success, as Pam pointed out, or it doesn't. You then go to another drug, or you might be able to go to another drug. The median survival rate of cancer, for bowel cancer, for example, has gone from 8 months to 30 months in 10 years. Part of that is new drugs.
Can you give me an example of a drug that on the tin may only give me 3 months extra life, but has a real name? Name me a patient who has lived
Let's talk about Simon, who was diagnosed more than 4 years ago. He's had a drug called Avastin. It's one of those that's come off the list. He is very clear, and his oncologist is clear, he's here 4 years later because of Avastin. I think the key thing to realise is when the Cancer Drugs Fund was introduced 4 years ago, these arguments about short extended life or it's too expensive per drug, they were had and they were played out. 4 years later, we've got real experience. Actually, the coalition government and the Labour Party both agree that cancer drugs should be funded in this way in order to get new drugs in the system.
Carl?
Well, I'm afraid we do know quite a lot about the harm that's been done to the NHS. So the recent evidence of research that's just reported tells us something about what we could have done with that resource. And last year, when we spent £230 million on the Cancer Drugs Fund, that could have been used to offer greater improvements in survival and quality of life to the tune of 18,000 quality-adjusted life years. The Cancer Drugs Fund last year, the most optimistic estimate of the benefits of that fund was somewhat less than 4,000 quality-adjusted life years. There is real net harm being done to the NHS, and the key issue is having a sound, well-established price negotiation process so that the prices the NHS pays for new drugs reflects the value they offer. This was supposed to be a temporary solution until that was in place. It's never been put in place, and that's why we're in the situation we are now.
Carl is absolutely right. This was supposed to be a temporary solution. We need a permanent long-term solution. But when you put a sticking plaster on something, you don't just rip it off and leave the wound open to fester. That's what's happening with the removal of the drugs from the list. Actually, the Cancer Drugs Fund has massive benefits. We at Beating Bowel Cancer, along with other cancer charities, and I asked Jeremy Hunt this to his face before Christmas, asked for the data that we know that's there on the benefits of the Cancer Drugs Fund, called SAC data, to be made available to us because we know it's there.
Right.
The system for rescoring the drugs under the Cancer Drugs Fund list, many cancer charities have said, we actually think the system's fundamentally flawed.
Now, you're using some jargon there, the system for rescoring. I'm going to translate that as, I have to work out how much to spend on sick people. Some sick people are going to have to die because I can't treat them all. That's the sort of decision that has to be made. Now, Carl, do you think that we have a process for making those decisions fairly? 25 life-extending drugs have come off. They said, the people who did it, it was a difficult decision. Are they taking these decisions in the right way?
I agree that the process that the Cancer Drugs Fund has used is flawed and it's not transparent or accountable. We do have an excellent process that's renowned around the world, and that's the NICE appraisal process, where all the evidence is gathered together, is synthesised, and is considered. It's the NICE appraisal process that has been established to make these difficult decisions in an accountable and transparent way. Many of the drugs that are currently being funded in the Cancer Drugs Fund are things that have been considered by NICE, but were rejected on the grounds that the scale of the benefit offered was insufficient to justify those costs when those costs could have been used better elsewhere in the NHS. So I think this should be returned to NICE, but with a price negotiation mechanism, which is what was promised in the first place in 2010.
NICE's system, Carl, if I may interrupt, NICE's system is actually flawed as well. We need to actually reform the way in which they re-evaluate the drugs. Part of the reason why so many new cancer drugs, are going to the Cancer Drugs Fund is because NICE is rejecting these new drugs time after time after time. They haven't even updated their cost measurement for 10 years. So part of the conversation is we have to have a better system for appraising. We all agree that. But when our medical board, for example, says, look, you're ignoring the cumulative benefit of drugs. People don't just have one drug, they have two, three, four, which has a cumulative benefit.
That's critical. Thank you very much indeed, Mark Flanagan, Chief Executive of Beating Bowel Cancer. We heard from Carl Claxton, Professor of Health Economics at the University of York. They're arguing over whether the systems have been updated to audit what drugs are like. But what we can tell you today is that the drugs list has been updated. 25 drugs are coming off, and we've heard from people who say that is wrong, but 25 are. And the government says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to use more money to try new drugs coming in. And that's also there in the mix today.